Change your mind. Repentance means changing your mind, because you cannot change your behavior until you change your mind. A lot of people want to say, well, repentance, let's go to the act of repentance. Oh, they changed, they turned around, they turned over a new leaf. People can fabricate that. Alcoholics can change their behavior, and they change it for maybe a good reason. Maybe it's hurting their family or making them unemployed or whatever number of reasons. And that would be a type of repentance, but it's not salvation repentance. It's not the kind of repentance that changes its mind toward God, that God is angry with the wicked every day, that the wrath of God abides upon those who knew not Christ. You know what the wrath of God is? The wrath of God is letting people go. God says, you know, you want to go? I'm going to let you go. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to aggravate your wickedness more and more. You're going to go from corruption unto corruption. You're going to get worse and worse. You say, well, man, that's terrible. I don't know many people who are really worse and worse. Hey, worseness is a relative thing. You look at it, you think it means he's on Skid Row. God looks at it and says, this guy's a moral person, and he's telling everybody else moral persons are good. And the devil animates that. He says, yeah, a moral person. Yeah, be a moral person. Moral people go to hell. You want to know what's the most insidious word on the street? Is that you can get to heaven by being a good person. That's insidious, because it sounds right. Man, my good outweighs my bad. Guess what? The bad doesn't go away. One piece of fruit in the garden, they were all done. One piece of fruit. I don't care how much good they did after that. If it wouldn't have been for God interposing His mercy and not wiping them out right then, they would have been in big, big trouble. You know what He did? He killed something. You've ever seen a situation where somebody's standing there and somebody's pulling back an arrow, or somebody's getting ready to throw a hatchet or some such? There you are. Look at that. Oh, he's going to kill the guy. And he throws it over his shoulder and kills something behind him. It was a threat. I can see him in the garden. There's Adam and Eve. And right behind him was a lamb. And he grabs that lamb and he rips it. And there was blood everywhere. And he takes that skin and he puts it around him and says, you're naked. You know you're naked. And I've taken care of that for now. Out of the garden now. Remember when your party was over as a kid? Mom and Dad showed up. Guys, this is important. It's not play church. It's a real church. It's God. He's looking for evidence, and there's an expectation. Under what were you baptized? The Bible says that they were baptized under John, and it says that. Look at verse 4. And if you underline in your Bible, here's a good word. Underline the word that. That they should believe on Him which should come after Him, that is on Jesus Christ. So, I would say this. Paul did not say, you were baptized under the baptism of John. That's terrible. He didn't say it. He says good things. It's a good start. But don't miss the point. The point is, go on. When somebody comes to me and they say, Pastor, I was baptized as a baby. I'd say, well, that's fine. I think that's nice. Your family had a religious tenor. At least you got some teaching in there. But everything about that is not biblical. We need to get to the biblical. And you need to come to Jesus. You need to believe on Him with your heart. You need to trust Him as your Savior. You need to recognize you're a sinner. You didn't know that as a baby. Your family gave you a little background. Remember David and Goliath? Remember Moses? Remember the law? Remember the Ten Commandments? All those things are good. It's good you know that. John, remember what he said? Repent! Repent! Get right! This world's a mess! It's a good start! But it doesn't save. What saves? Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can. Same story, still strong as ever. Power of God unto salvation. Gospel. He died for my sin. He took it in His own body on the tree. He bore it all the way into the grave. And He rose up the third day. And He said, I've done it. It's paid for in full. And you can have eternal life. That's huge. Woo! Beloved, there's an expectation. And you know what's neat is that their sincerity, their reality, their sincerity, it was seen in their submission. Because the Bible says in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized. In the name, or unto the name of Jesus. Now understand, baptism is an immersion of something. When they immersed people for under the baptism of John, they immersed him saying, I am completely enveloping myself in this reality that you're preaching. I believe that I've sinned. I believe we're all a mess. And I'm just saying, yes, God, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do, but I'm doing it. This was a weak form of getting ready, but it was the best God brought forth for us. And people were lining up at Jordan River, and they were getting baptized, and some were preaching it down the road like Apollos. And they were preaching the baptism of John. Repent, repent. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. And they said, man, I got to start somewhere. I'm going to start right here. They got baptized. They didn't know what they were going to get ultimately, but they were doing what they had to do because it was with God. Remember when Jesus said, the baptism of John, you Pharisees, was it of God or was it of a man? It was of God, but they wouldn't answer it. It's of God, getting ready. Messenger preparing the way. But when they heard this, what'd they do? When they heard this, they were baptized. Now, I've asked you a couple questions. Have you received the Holy Ghost? And I'm not talking about signs and wonders. I'm talking about the amazing reality of the new birth. Did you get a new disposition? Did you get a new declaration? Where are you? Are you self-controlled? Are you nice? Do you have the discipline of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says if you're not disciplined, you're an illegitimate child. Much more harsh in the King James, isn't it? You got no discipline? You're not even saved. That's what he's saying. Beloved, what I want you to understand is you've been asked the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Has something happened? Can you say, yes, the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit? I cannot answer for you. You have to answer for you. Because it's a personal relationship. It really is. And you either want him or you don't. And if you push him away, he's willing for that. He doesn't want it to happen, but he's willing to let you because this is God. God who gave you free will. God who wants you to willingly say, I will be immersed unto the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm not going to live for me anymore. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to begin to make everything bend to the will of God and say, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this because it will honor God. My behavior is going to change. My declaration is going to change. You know, it's very interesting. A lot of times people don't realize this, but when they were baptized, the Bible says, then he laid hands on them and the Holy Ghost came upon them and he spake with tongues. You know, believers today do speak with new tongues. Just not the kind the wild and frenzied crowd would tell you about. I got a new tongue when I got saved. Don't tell them jokes anymore. Don't say those words anymore. Got a new tongue. Remember one day I was working on a car. Want to know if you got a new tongue, work on a car. Can I get a witness? Man, them knuckle busters will bring it right out of you. Woo! I'm in there and I let one fly. I was alone, so it's okay. Nobody noticed. There you go. He was watching. So he said, I'm going to let you go a little further, Dave. I'm going to bust them knuckles a little bit better. Busted them again. And the GD word started coming out of my mouth. It wasn't yesterday. Just saying. Back when I was a young boy. And when that happened, I sat down and I just said, oh God, I'm so sorry. What did God, we'd say, oh God, I'm so sorry. We don't say it anymore. We don't care anymore. We don't have a new tongue. We have a new disposition. And we're letting everybody tell it. You know, we're baptized under the worldly Christianity today. It's a real thing, guys, and it matters to God. And he says, let the wheat and the tares grow together, and then the latter we'll pick up them tares and we're going to burn them. And I'm telling you, you read Pilgrim's Progress, they'll tell you way back when, they knew it. There's an entrance to hell from the gates of glory. You're going to think, let me in, I'm home. He's going to say, I never, never, never knew you because you had no relationship with me. You know, today it's a mess in our world. The women are becoming profane, and that made a lot of men go deeper into profanity. God made women to be good, not to be God, and they've turned it. Women have a propensity for goodness, just natural, but they turn it, and they say, no, I'm going to be wicked and evil just like the men. I'm going to jump in the puddle with them, and it's a mess out there. And what's happening in our world is making everybody take everything in a profane way. That's why men do not curb their speech for women anymore. They speak foul in their presence. And there was a day when they would stand when they walked in a room, but the women wanted it all. And they went like Garden of Eden thing, you know. It was that woman that was appealed to, wasn't it? You, lady, can be like God. Guess what? You have arrived in this generation. But you don't have to take that fruit. And you just have to take God at His word and say, this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is what God made me to be, and I'm going to be all I can be for Him according to His word. Yabbit, 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 shoot the yabbits. Just be God's child. If you're a slave, serve as God's free man. If you're a free man, become God's slave. This is what God's word says. And if there's evidence in your life, you get a new tongue, you get a new disposition, you get a new declaration, you get new discipline. And the Bible tells us that not only did they speak in tongues, but they prophesied. Now, for the prophets of old, we like, oh, they told the future. I love the future. I'm telling you something. We know the future. Jesus is coming. And he who will come shall come, and he will not tarry. Now, in those days, yeah, they did do some prophesying. Usually it was short-term stuff. There's going to be a great famine. You need to get ready. Agabus said Paul's going to be bound. But the fact of the matter is, real prophets were mostly concerned with telling forth God's word that had already been written. Most of what they said was to call a world that was in sin to repentance with the words that were in the past. When Elijah prayed that it rain not, he did it on the basis of Moses' words that when you are apostatizing, I'm going to make the heavens brass. So he said, dear God, they're apostatizing. Make them brass. And he did for 3 years, and it did not rain. Now, when you declare God's word and you take that declaration into your world, you're doing something. So you get a new tongue. And the Bible says in verse 7, and all the men were about 12. There's a striking reality about that that I want you to keep in mind. It's only 12. This is Ephesus. There was only 12 in this little gathering. And one thing that strikes me about it is that throughout Scripture, God has always had merely a remnant. That means just a few. Broad way leads to destruction. Narrow way leads to life. What's the word? Few there be that find it. It's a message to you. You're either one of the few or you're not, really. And you either have these evidences and you have an eagerness to submit when God says submit, or you don't. I mean, these are things. They had an eagerness. They were on the right track. They were baptized under John's baptism, but they did not hesitate when they got a clear word, I was baptized onto not enough or not the right thing. I'm getting baptized in the right way with my mind around it. I'm in. I'm in for it all. Count me in. Because I want to be baptized unto the name of Jesus. How about you? Are you real? Are these your words? Mirrors up. Have you been born again? Jesus died for you. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Gave His Son what? For the world. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says He died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole earth. The whole world. He died for you. But the Bible says you can reject Him. That's an awesome God. How cool is that? He gives you the choice. You can play it by the world's plan, knowing that you're getting older and older and older every day. One day you'll be where I'm at if you're below me. One day you'll be where my grandmother and mother are, who are not with us anymore. But are you saved? Would you bow with me for a moment?